Welcome to another edition of the PW Mania Hot Tag Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, Justin C., joined this week by my co-host Cam and the chairman, Steven Vincent, as we are here to talk about the fallout from AEW Revolution. We got Okada signing in AEW and more on the road to WrestleMania as the path for the Night 1 and Night 2 main events has become clearer. So a good amount to talk about this week after taking last week off. So let's just get right into it. AEW Revolution took place this past Sunday on pay-per-view. From a wrestling standpoint, I thought it was like, from the matches I saw, I will be honest, I did not watch all the matches, but from everything I saw, it was a really solid show. I mean, I've seen some people saying it's the best pay-per-view of all time, which I'm never willing to take a step like that until I really fully, A, watch everything, and B, compare it to the other pay-per-views that would be on that list. But some, you know, newsworthy stuff from there, and obviously, like I said, on Dynamite as well. So let's just start with the pay-per-view itself. Cam, I'll go to you first. Just what is one takeaway you're taking from Revolution this past Sunday?
I mean, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say the most put together pay-per-view they've probably had in a long time. I mean, the women's matches were there for a reason. Brian and Kingston, you know, things like that, you know, the triple threat match, which, you know, Chairman and I have different opinions on who should be the champion, but that's neither here nor there. We'll talk about that here in a little bit, but overall, I'd say the best AEW pay-per-view they've had in a while. And that's, you know, a compliment coming from us considering, you know, they haven't had a really solid pay-per-view in a year and a half. So yeah, it was a good overall show, and I'm definitely not the best pay-per-view of all time. Maybe you could argue maybe the second or third best AEW pay-per-view of all the pay-per-views they've had so far.
Yeah, I know it helped too. Obviously, the emotion of Sting's final match. You know, it was a sold out Greensboro Coliseum, I believe, to the best of my knowledge. Obviously, a lot of those fans there to see Sting. So that helped build everything up. I'm normally somebody that is always pro your title match should be last under certain, circumstances. This is one of those circumstances where I would obviously say 100% that the title should not have gone on last on the show. Obviously, the show being built around Sting's retirement and Sting's final match in North Carolina, that goes on last, you know, hands down. That is one of those exceptions. For me, I think one of my takeaway from the show is that I think, you know, Samoa Joe may end up being a long-term AEW champion. You know, we talked about, you know, we in our predictions we posted on Twitter, you know, some of us thought Swerve was going to win, but Joe ends up retaining the title. It seems like Joe and Swerve are still kind of going along from Dynamite this past Wednesday, and we know we have Will Ospreay, we know we have Okada now in AEW. It doesn't seem like at least Okada's going to be involved in the world title program right away, so I don't think he's a challenger. It doesn't look like Ospreay's going to be involved right away, as they had teased an Ospreay-Brian Danielson match this past Wednesday on Dynamite. So for me, at least, I'm looking at this pay-per-view taking away that I think Joe's going to be the champion, I would almost venture to say, through the summer. And it's the right move to make because Joe is always a guy that is credible. He comes off as a threat. He comes off as a badass ass kicker every single time he's booked properly on TV. And I am all for them going ahead and just giving Joe an extended title reign. I mean, AEW's pretty much given out long title reigns. I know some of us thought maybe Joe would be a short-term champion, but I'm ready to say that after the pay-per-view that I think Joe is going to be a champion, I think at least through the summer going into All Out, the pay-per-view in September. So that's my takeaway from this pay-per-view. Chairman, what's one new takeaway you have from this pay-per-view?
I didn't watch it because we're in an economy where it's suffering. It's like you have a zillion different media outlets you can stream. You know, Peacock has WWE. It's like Tony Khan, like, contact somebody. Get your shit on a streaming service. Like, seriously, man. $50 ain't happening. Not in this economy. But, you know, the Sting match was done right. You know, that's the one thing I'm very happy with. You know, Sting goes out like a champion. You know, his kids in there, it was awesome moment to see. Like, they're huge, too. It was like, holy shit. you know, it was just really done well. You know, all the tributes, you know, everything just centered around Sting the way it should have been. The dude's a legend in the business. You know, been there almost 40 years wrestling. So it's just good to see him go out on top. You know, I know he wanted to put the Bucks over, but the Bucks and Tony both pretty much talked Sting into letting him have his moment. So I respect all parties involved in that. Darby Allin almost killing himself, going through some glass. I mean, Darby being Darby. So, you know, it's a lot to talk about in that match. But, that's definitely a cool moment for Sting, and I'm happy he goes on his terms. And I really hope Sting actually stays retired, because in pro wrestling, no one's truly retired. But Sting, man, you're 60 something years old, man. It's walk away. This is a good spot to walk out on. This is good.
I do laugh that even in a situation like that, in a big match, they can't avoid having CM Punk in their head by doing a spot involving glass. I just kind of got a chuckle out. But yeah, Darby Allin, Jesus Christ. I mean, now he's going to climb Mount Everest, I think. Like, that kid is not going to be walking right at the age of, I don't even know how old he is now. I think he's still in his 20s. But in his, by the time he hits 30, that kid is probably going to almost have to be retired. I fear that he could be going down the Jeff Hardy path, just minus the drugs, where he goes out and puts his body on the line all the time, and unfortunately it could wreck him. But to the best of my knowledge, I don't know about Darby. I don't think, I'm not calling Darby Allin a drug user by any means, but I don't think he is. So I just think, but the body wise though, he's lighter and frame wise than Jeff Hardy. So I worry that could be a situation where he could be risking himself too much and just one bad bump and he is done, unfortunately. But Chairman brings up Sting. Obviously Sting now retired, hopefully from pro wrestling. I agree that I hope Sting stays retired. He's, I would, he's a legend in the business. He's a WCW guy, through and through. He was with WCW from the beginning all the way till the end. It took him even, what was it? I think like almost 10 or 12 years after that to come into WWE and finally have a match there. And then, of course, that whole thing went wrong. But I mean, the height of the Monday Night War eras in WCW was the NWO and Sting acting as the vigilante, challenging everybody and taking out everybody in the NWO. I mean, when WCW was hot in 1997, you're picturing Sting in the rafters, Sting coming down from the rafters, taking out everybody in the NWO with a baseball bat. If you ever seen 97 Uncensored, when Sting finally makes his choice and fights off the NWO, the pop for that is huge. Of course, they completely fucked everything up with Starrcade 97, but that's a whole another story for a whole another podcast. But he's the guy WCW built around in the early 90s. They kind of countered as almost like their Hulk Hogan, where it's like the baby face, the blonde baby face, big muscular. Never was the best promo, which is probably kind of why his time in the rafters is generally considered the best time of his career. And then, of course, he went to TNA for, geez, a long time after that. And, I was never the biggest follower of TNA. I didn't watch a lot of it, but he gave TNA credibility when he was there. A legend like him not going to WWE and choosing to go over the TNA instead. I know I've seen a lot of it. I have seen, though, a lot of his Joker stuff, which is just a lot of funny stuff, in copying Heath Ledger. Like I said, his WWE run was not great. Probably, I almost wonder sometimes if he regrets it or not, but his work in AEW is good. His pairing with Darby Allin worked well. He showed he could still go, given what he could do. So he's definitely a true legend, I think, in the business. Obviously, he's already a WWE Hall of Famer. But I think when it comes to my favorite wrestlers, I'd probably put him in the top 10 just because I remember so much vividly from cheering for him against the NWO during the Monday Night War era when I was a kid watching him in its peak. But a very good, very solid career, and somebody that probably, from what it looks like, is be able to walk out and, be normal. I know he used to be a real estate agent. I don't know if he still does that kind of stuff or owns properties. But it's a good career for him and nothing to be ashamed about at all as far as Sting in the wrestling business. Chairman, what are your thoughts on the career of Sting?
Yeah, there's definitely been some good Sting moments over the years. Like I didn't really watch a whole lot of WCW in the early 90s when he was, blonde surfer, bright colored Sting, But like WCW, that's the guy you first thought of was Sting, like during that period. I didn't watch it, but everybody that, you talked, you tuned in once in a while on the Saturday night, and, Sting was the kind of guy you thought of. And then, once the NWO stuff started, that's when I kind of got into WCW, like religiously. Like I started to kind of get into it when like Hogan and Macho went over, but when like the NWO stuff started up, that's when I just dove right in. And of course, we had the fake NWO Sting. And speaking of the NWO, real quick, rest in peace to Vincent Virgil, by the way, who passed away last week. One of my favorite jobbers from over the years. Good guy, respect the meat sauce. But back to Sting now. The Crow Sting, even though he now denies it was a crow, but even though Scott Hall said that's where he got the idea from, was the crow. It's kind of funny. read about that. But that was definitely like his best run, I think, in his career was the WCW. Just hanging on the rafters, like you said, just with the baseball bat. Didn't talk. He just used his, bat basically to do what he had to do. Lex Luger freaking out, And what's with Lex Luger wearing a Falcons shit in Carolina country, man? You don't be wearing that stuff there. Plus, he's a Bills fan. What's he
Yeah,
doing?
exactly. I saw a picture of him in a Bills jersey or a Bills sweatshirt later on. But yeah, get that Falcons crap off, man. I mean, I guess like if you're gonna be somebody, it's inoffensive to be a Falcons fan, but yeah, wear your Bills stuff all the time.
Yeah, exactly. But, and then it's like, when the merger happened of WCW, WWE, it's like, okay. I was excited for Sting to go to WWE, because like think of all the cool matches we could have had, and then he doesn't come over. Like nobody really came over, honestly. Like the best we got was like Booker T. So like this invasion sucks. We could spend a whole podcast talking about that, but then it's like by the time Sting finally did make it to WWE, because obviously he had a well-documented TNA run, had some great matches with Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett, et cetera, but yeah, it's like, yeah, the WWE is like, okay, we had the Triple H mess at WrestleMania, the unfortunate injury of Rollins. We never got Sting Undertaker, which pisses me off to no end. It's like the dream match of dream matches for everybody, and the ball is dropped, and it just sucks. But we could also go back to what if Sting would have joined WWE in 2001 to whatever it was, and the whole wrestling world could be completely different. But I will say, kudos to Tony Khan and AEW for giving Sting a proper send off. He got to end his career on his terms. He went undefeated in AEW, if they want to keep a track. The pairing of Darby is great. Mentor him along. Probably was a great locker room guy for all the people back there too. Sting's a guy that you really don't hear a whole lot of people talk bad of either. Like he's a guy that people talk highly of. You don't hear any bad stuff. No one really says Sting sucks. We hate Sting. You don't hear that. There's a lot of wrestlers that you hear that with. But you really don't. Maybe you would have if like social media was a thing in the Monday Night Wars era. But nowadays, everyone just respects things what he is. And like I said before, hope he has a great retirement.
I'm trying to picture 97 Sting and 97 Bret Hart with a Twitter account during the Monday Night Wars there, and Kevin Nash and W and Scott Hall. God, that would just be a shit show waiting to happen. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say anything bad about Sting at all. And I think I remember listening to Eric Bischoff podcast on TNA about Sting, and he was just like, Sting's just like. Down, you think Sting's a serious guy, but once you get to know him and talk to him, he's down to earth and he's really, goofy and fun to hang out with backstage. Cam, what are your thoughts on Sting's career?
Well, they almost, well, first off the match, they almost did the spot, Justin. They just did the "We sorry, we hate you" and super kicked
Oh
ass.
yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, you almost were right on the money, but we kind of knew it was coming. Like these guys can't help but say, "Hey, we wish we Vince would have got blackballed 5 years ago, and maybe AEW wouldn't exist. Who knows?" But yeah, I mean the 99 fall brawl, that fiasco with him beating Hogan for the title, but it took fucking half the locker room and DDP and everybody else to make it happen for Stinger. I was at WrestleMania 31, Sting's debut, and the Vince McMahon logic was like, yes, let's pin Triple H and D-Generation X against Sting and the NWO, because we all know that Sting and the NWO famously were friends. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I was at WrestleMania, like, what the fuck are they doing? Vince is on drugs right now, or doing things he shouldn't have been doing, more than likely. Instead of being like, yeah, Sting, Hogan, it'll be great. People will love it. They'll pop. Yeah, I mean, Sting had a great career. I mean, I wouldn't put him in my top 10 because I wasn't a huge WCW guy. I watched his matches. I thought it was cool, but I can easily put 10 guys ahead of Sting. I mean, maybe top 15, top 20, and that's fair. Because I feel like, Justin, you said the best, maybe best moments of his career were spent chilling in the Raptors, like not speaking, and on all that stuff that unfolded. I mean, I know he had some great matches in New Japan, but people on the internet that want to be like, well, all of his stuff in New Japan, like, shut the fuck up. You only discovered those matches 6 months ago on YouTube. Like, don't act like you were in Japan in 1982 or whenever those matches were taking place. But yeah, I mean, I agree with Chairman. One of the things that Tony Khan has gotten right in the last year and a half. Great send-offs. We were both correct. They retained the titles. Darby let him go on Dynamite last night. He also, when you're talking about him climbing Mount Everest, he was being real weird about him. Like, I might not make it, and this is it. Like, I thank you guys. And I was like, holy shit, man, is this guy like thinking he's going to die when he's going to Mount Everest next week. So better watch out for that. But, you know, great career. You know, like Chairman said, he had undefeated in AEW. You know, he didn't have to, you know, if he read the Darby's tribute in the Players Tribune, you know, Sting could have came in, hit a few Scorpion Deathlocks, and maybe even put himself in a world title match if he really, really wanted to. But he didn't do that. He, you know, came in, worked with Darby, did some crazy shit for his age, you know. So kudos to Sting. You know, he gets the ride out, just like you guys said. And, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he'll come back every once in a while in AEW and be a special guest referee or something like that. Or maybe when Darby's, like, AEW world champion and he needs someone to back him up, Sting will come and things like that. But, you know, I hope he does ride out in Sunset and hangs out with his family and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he seems to be in good health, so he's counting himself lucky.
Yeah, at least he didn't get he didn't look like Ric Flair in Ric Flair's last match, or was that last year, where he practically almost died on the apron just because he was so exhausted. I mean, it was good for Sting to go out like he did, go out on his terms to be able to have a proper retirement. Hell, they even paid tribute to him on Raw in a one-off comment by Michael Cole, which is something I think, like, in Vince days you would never, ever hear in a million years. But they paid tribute. They're not really paid tribute to him, but they just basically said, I forgot what he said, but I know it was like, oh, wow, they mentioned Sting retiring. Good for them. So that was the Revolution pay-per-view. Then on Wednesday we had the debut of Okada on Dynamite, who ended up joining up with the Young Bucks in their, you know, this awful EVP role that they're doing, where they're basically being mock authority figures, you know, mimicking Tony Khan. And Okada decides he ends up wanting to join the Bucks, and the Bucks talk about how they hooked Okada up with this agent, and he is actually they did sign a 3-year deal worth $13.5 million, which comes in at $4.5 million a year. But I don't know, like, sure, it's a risk to go ahead and do this and debut Okada like this in AEW, because you know he's going to kind of be not serious and joking off and with the Young Bucks and stuff. But I'm sorry, like, I love Okada as a wrestler, great wrestler, but if it's me and you took all the stuff they were doing and the Bucks are doing and you just slapped WWE on it instead of AEW, I think people will be crapping all over this. But the Young Bucks gimmick and what they're doing is just not funny for me at all. I'm not enjoying it whatsoever. And now they're getting Okada dragged into it. I know people are like, well, they're going to do Okada and the Bucks against Hangman and Kenny Omega and somebody else when they all come back. Well, first off, we don't know when Hangman's coming back because he's taking time off. We don't know for what. We don't know when Kenny Omega's coming back or if he's ever coming back. And I just don't know what this whole angle is going to end up leading to if, like, heaven forbid, something like that does fall through. So, I mean, I just am hating what they're doing now on TV. And like I said, now they got Okada involved. I guess Will Ospreay is going to be the serious wrestler of the two that come in. And you know what? I'm fine with that. Will Ospreay has come off like a star in his first few, in his Dynamite match on in his Revolution match as well. His entrance is cool. I think he's, there's going to be big things for him down the line. And you know what? I'm never going to fault anybody for making a payday. I always say that on the show. If somebody wants to pay Okada $4.5 million, that's great. But I worry we get an Okada in AEW similar to what we have here, what we've talked about with Kenny Omega, where, okay, he was this great wrestler in Japan, but he's never really fulfilled it in AEW. And Okada, you know, arguably, you could argue, probably is one of the best talents in New Japan of all time. But are we going to see that Okada in AEW when it's all said and done? Are we going to be sitting there like we have with Kenny Omega, where it's like, okay, he had a great run with Hangman Page as tag team champions, great tag title matches, but we never saw that single star Kenny Omega like we were used to in the past. Cam, I'll go over to you here first on this one. Just what are your thoughts on Okada signing in AEW and his use joining up with the Bucks?
Well, I mean, this, for me, for one thing, assuming Kenny Omega does come back at some point this calendar year, is we're going to get like an ultra mega babyface Kenny Omega run. And I think that might be the fucking shot in the heart that AEW needs. And then maybe at some point MJF comes back and turns his heel and MJF versus Kenny Omega. I'm thinking further down the road, but I mean, Okada got paid. He got paid. He's going to hang out with the Bucks. We'll see. I mean, I feel like he might be still considered serious. Maybe they will do some joking around and all that stuff, but I think we'll still see some serious Okada, and he'll probably kick some ass. And I mean, at some point, I think he has to have a world title run at least, or be in that picture. If not, you know, if he's just there to hang out with the Bucks and then Kenny gets whoever to join up with him, then that would be kind of a waste. But it is AEW, so we never know what's going to happen. But, you know, he's there. He's here. We'll see what's going to happen. But I am excited. Once he debuted and they went with the whole what we think's going to happen is them being a little shitty heel stable. I mean, I got really excited for Ultra Babyface Kenny Omega run.
Yeah, that's definitely something to look forward to. Hopefully Sirius Kenny Omega 2, that would be helpful as well. I hope he comes back. I mean, obviously, diverticulitis is, a, no pun intended, a shitty thing to deal with. We know what it did to Brock Lesnar, so that sucks. But hopefully he can come back and get a good run in him. Chairman, what are your thoughts with Okada here in AEW?
Fucking Okada. I was really hoping we would win it to WWE. I mean, I just, obviously, we kind of knew he was going to end up in AEW. And it's fine. He got his bag. Respect, you know. Yeah, it's like he went heel, which is weird for me because I never seen him as a heel before in all my times when I watched him in New Japan. I mean, obviously, he was probably heel many years ago. But, you know, it's like him in the Bucks. And then they did the finger point that Triple H does. Like, oh, you guys are freaking something else. And then I saw, like, someone there on social media today, like, they had a picture of, like, the Bucks and Cody, and then, like, the Bucks and Okada, you know, they both got the blonde hair. It's like, oh, they replaced Cody with Okada. Okay, whatever. So this is the thing we're going to do now. And I really was hoping more for Okada. I mean, it's early, way early, sure. But, you know, Okada is, like, a badass, you know. And a singles run, you know, go for singles titles. And it's like, I don't want him to be in this trios bullshit. You know, we've talked about this with Kenny Omega, like, you know, y'all nailed it earlier, you know, he's watered down basically in the States, you know, ever since he left Japan. Like, he's hanging out with the Bucks, they're all having their trios matches. It's like, I don't want no damn trios matches. I want Okada main eventing, going for gold, singles gold. You know, maybe Ospreay will do it first. And you know what, Ospreay's better than Okada anyway. So let Ospreay be the champion some point down the road here. I'm fine with that. Don't fumble Ospreay. That's what scares me more than anything right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, it's a short time with Okada. We're all willing to give it a chance. Same thing with Ospreay. They definitely have not fumbled it with Ospreay. He's coming off as the guy in AEW, at least over these last couple, these first two matches. So I'm all there for that. It appears we're probably, we still also have Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks debuting in AEW more than likely, was that next week in Boston for Big Business. They hired a former writer in WWE that used to work a lot with the women's division and Sasha Banks in WWE, excuse me. So that's probably part of the reason, you know, she came over. Obviously kind of signifies that, you know, at this point, obviously that Mercedes Moné is coming in to AEW. So a pretty big couple weeks here in AEW with Ospreay signing, with Okada signing, with Mercedes Moné signing. So it's good for them to be back in the fold when it comes to getting attention like this. So we'll see what develops with AEW there. And, of course, we also have WrestleMania season still upon us with the night one main event of WrestleMania likely taking place and being official with, it actually is official now, with Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes taking on The Rock and Roman Reigns in night one, with the stipulation being that if Seth and Cody win, that the Bloodline is banned from ringside during the Roman Reigns-Cody Rhodes match in night two. But if The Rock and Roman win, that means that night two Roman Cody is Bloodline rules, whatever that means. I'm just assuming anything goes. You know, The Rock, you know, acknowledged his tribal chief last Friday on SmackDown, so that was taken care of. And Seth, I mean, you know, Chairman, I'm sorry, but your boy Seth and his line of Diarrhea Dwayne just didn't work for me. But just what are your thoughts on the happenings here with night one and night two, and what are your thoughts on it?
Oh, I trashed that line myself.
Yeah, I think I thought I saw that. Yeah,
I was like, what is this? Like, is Vince writing your lines again, bud? Like, The Rock, or I should say Dwayne, is going to carve you up on SmackDown for saying that line. Like, my God, that might have been the worst line of the year, and we're only in March. But like, that was bad. That was so bad. But you know, we all kind of seen this tag match happen night one. This gives Seth the, main event spot, finally. And I'm a little surprised they did the stipulation the way they did it. But at the same time, I guess it makes it not as predictable, because I was thinking, if you the Bloodline win, then Cody forfeits his title match, and then it's Rock versus Roman on night two then. But then it's like, oh, that's not going to happen. So I guess it makes sense for them to have the Bloodline rules match on the line. So we'll kind of see what happens with that, and Seth and Drew, that's looking like a good program, as we figured. Drew McIntyre is a menace right now. He's absolutely batting 1,000. So, we got some good stuff coming up between all these, WrestleMania in the men's divisions, for as like the top tiers go. And, we got a lot more to talk about, but I'm really excited for WrestleMania this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, like, if I was picking a match right now on who was going to win there, I would probably go with Rock Roman, because I can still maybe see seeds planted down the line where Rock isn't all the way in on this Bloodline thing, and he takes out, everybody else in the Bloodline and lets Cody deal with Roman one-on-one. I still see that as a possibility. They tease Cody versus Rock on its own as well, where Cody challenged Rock to a match. I mean, that's something that, however much Rock wants to wrestle, I guess that could be a Saudi Arabia thing. It could be a SummerSlam thing with, hey, that happens. SummerSlam's in Cleveland. That's a 3-hour drive for me. I'll be there. There's a lot to, look forward to. And there's more openness here with The Rock now that he's kind of turned heel, and you can go a few different ways with this story. But I agree with you, Chairman, that Drew McIntyre is just completely kicking ass right now. He absolutely should be the one to beat Seth this coming at WrestleMania. And you already got a Drew McIntyre CM Punk feud set up for whenever Punk comes back. See what happens when you actually, can tweet stuff like this, when you work it through with the guy you're going to work with, and you can get heat on Twitter, but it's all approved by, by each other, not like an AEW where guys just throw stuff out at random and you can build stuff up to this. CM Punk Drew McIntyre is going to be a huge feud whenever Punk comes back. But Cam, what are your thoughts on the night one main event now being matched and where it could go?
Well, I mean, a few weeks ago when they speculated about the tag match happening night one, I mean, I already said that Roman and Rock was going to win because it's just the right thing to do for night two purposes. If you have Cody and Seth win night one, then I'm like 100% convinced that they're fucking both losing night two, because I don't know. I just feel like the build up to it's much better, because then, the Bloodline rules, it's going to be no DQ, and they're going to throw every fucking bell and whistle at Roman, at Cody Rhodes. And, by God, we're hoping that Cody overcomes it this year. And maybe if Rock is interested in working something between this Mania and next Mania, then we could possibly see him versus Cody in a world title match at SummerSlam or something along those lines. Maybe like, hey, I'm getting the Bloodline back, or who knows if they're looking at how long they're going to play this out for. I don't really look into like movie pre-production, so I have no idea if The Rock has a million movies coming up over the next few months, but if he doesn't, I mean, I could see something along the lines of him, maybe working a few more shows throughout the year like Roman does and teasing this, and then eventually we'll get to Rock Roman next year. But yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I think, and like I said before, I mean, if Rock Roman makes sense to win, because it just makes night two even more interesting. I mean, Drew McIntyre has been on fire. We've been talking about it for a while. I mean, we kind of jumped off the Drew bandwagon for a little bit. But we're all right back on, as we were in on Drew McIntyre pre-COVID. We bought stock early, so we're still in the green on Drew McIntyre. I mean, Seth will get some well-deserved time off, and we just, instead of it being CM Punk taking the title off Seth, it's going to be Drew, and Drew, running, like I said, I mean, I feel like Drew has done a tremendous job, but can he carry Raw if Cody goes to SmackDown as the world champion? Then you're looking at Raw with no Seth Rollins, no Cody Rhodes, no CM Punk, and Drew McIntyre will have to man the ship, him and Gunther and, whoever else they have step up. So that's something that I would maybe worry a little bit about, because who knows about Punk's timeline. I mean, I'm hoping for something before SummerSlam so they could do Drew Summer, because he's an older guy and you don't really want to rush it. So, I mean, can he carry the torch on Raw for the better part of 3 or 4 months? I think he can. You can have some guys step up and be challengers. But overall, like Chairman said, I mean, last year's Mania was great. I could even argue the year before Vince's last one was really, really good with the Stone Cold stuff and everything that was involved. But yeah, this WrestleMania is shaping up to be great. I am a little, I don't know, we're not really talking about, but the way they're handling the IC title thing, I'm not really a big fan of, but the main events, they've done a great job.
Yeah, it's actually the next thing I was actually going to bring up here is the we're always wondering who's going to fight Gunther at WrestleMania, and they're determining it by a gauntlet match this coming Monday on Raw, with the winner facing Gunther at WrestleMania. And of course, your participants are Ricochet, Chad Gable, Sami Zayn, Bronson Reed, Nakamura, and JD McDonagh. I think you can eliminate JD McDonagh. I would say you could probably eliminate Bronson Reed and eliminate Ricochet too. I'd also say you could probably eliminate Nakamura as well, and that brings me down to Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. Zayn, obviously, both of them, the underdog story. Gable has history with Gunther, had a handful of good matches together a few months ago on Raw. Sami Zayn is your traditional underdog that the people always want to get behind, too. If it's up to me, honestly, I mean, if I'm looking at, future here, I don't think Sami Zayn is the right person would beat Gunther for the Intercontinental title. I mean, I know, Chairman wouldn't be a fan of this, but I think Chad Gable would be the one. If you want to elevate him and you want to get him into a higher status in the card, Gable would be my guy to go ahead and fight Gunther here. And I'd be very tempted to give him the win to make him feel like a big deal, winning the IC title on a big stage. Gunther can then go on to a main event program, whether it's with Drew McIntyre or Cody Rhodes. The way I look at it, I like Sami Zayn, a great performer, absolutely nothing against the guy. But at this point in his career, I mean, he had his big WrestleMania moment last year with him and Kevin Owens winning the tag titles against the Usos. I just look at it at this point and I go, I don't think him winning the Intercontinental title from Gunther does anything at all for him as far as elevation goes. He's already fought Roman Reigns. He had his time in the sun there. I just don't really look at that and say, okay, I mean, if he fights him, it'll be a great match, and I'm going to have no problem with the match. But I just don't think he should be the one to dethrone Gunther in the end. This list of people here, Chairman, with this gauntlet, who do you think is coming out on top on Raw Monday?
My John Cena prediction is not coming true, and I'm super pissed about it. That would have been the cool match to go. I've seen these matches before. I don't want to see Gunther fighting these guys, which makes me thinking Gunther's probably going to leave WrestleMania still champion because fuck Chad Gable. I'm sick of that shoosh guy. He's up with Otis, who sucks too. Sami Zayn, it's like he had his moment last year, so it's like he's going to get two moments in a row. Don't see it, and those other guys ain't going to win. Like, unless Gunther wins, which I'm totally fine with, by the way, they should have had him drop the title to Jey Uso a couple weeks ago, and then Jay and Jimmy, which is probably going to happen, could have fought for the Intercontinental title instead, which would mean that match super bigger than it already is going to be. So I say Gunther just keep, because there's just no one worthy right now. I mean, the smart play here, hell, just have Damian Priest cash in. I mean, he ain't going to cash in for a world title because he's scared shitless of everybody, so maybe that's the play we make here.
Yeah, I was just about to say, they've been teasing that a little bit with Money in the Bank cash, and at least it would make more sense with Austin Theory because they've actually built up the Intercontinental title to a point where it seems like a huge deal. I would not want Gunther to lose a title like that, but at least it's more understandable than Theory ditching the title or going after the U.S. title for no reason. Also, real quick, when it relates to Chad Gable, I know there was some stuff last week online about video of people booing Maxine Dupree because she wasn't good in a house show match, and lots of wrestlers coming to her defense and saying they like her and stuff, and that's great. I'm sure she's a nice person, but if I go to a wrestling show and I see shitty wrestling, I feel like I have a right to boo it. It's like if I go to a sports event and my team is losing by big at the half or at the end of a period, I have a right to boo their performance. And those, everybody that stick up for her has every single right to stick up for her as well. I'm not saying they don't. But to criticize fans for booing her when it's like, okay, if I, like I said, if I'm not entertained by that and she's not good, I can boo it. And you should have no problem with me booing it. But I have no problem with you sticking up for her. But I just wanted to get that out there, too, while we were talking about Chad Gable and, Alpha Academy people. Cam, what are your thoughts on this IC title gauntlet match, and who do you think might come out on top?
To touch on the Maxine stuff, I mean, I agree with you as far as, like, if you don't like it or whatever, booing. I'm going to assume that the human beings in question were maybe partially intoxicated males who probably said some like smarty mark bullshit. So that not okay. If you want to boo, go ahead and boo, but like to like, you know, come across as like some smart mark, which I'm assuming is probably what happened towards her, even though I feel like she's kind of regressed. So I understand where it's coming from, because I feel like she got a little bit better and then it got like a little bit worse. So I'm not really sure, because I'm assuming Chad's working with her on the offside. Maybe it's just only television. They never work with each other, but I'm assuming that he wants to put in a little bit of work, and they've gone at least to the performance center a few times and had ran around the ring. But yeah, she has gotten a little bit worse, but there you can boo. Boo, 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 but just don't be a fucking asshole about it. I mean, now as far as the IC title stuff goes, I hate the idea of a fucking gauntlet match. They should just do a one-night tournament, dedicate a Raw one-night tournament. This Raw is dedicated, other than there'll be a few other segments, but this Raw is mostly about a one-night single elimination tournament. The winner faces fucking Gunther at WrestleMania. People would tune in. You'll have, what, 8 guys. You'll have 5 matches in one night, 6 matches in one night, and the winner gets to face Gunther. People will tune in. It'll be great. And what I'm really upset about is I like Bronson Reed. I love Ricochet. But these guys, you know, they haven't really earned an Intercontinental title shot at WrestleMania. Maybe a fucking random pay-per-view or a random Raw, sure, but a Mania, no. So I was thinking, guys on SmackDown who aren't doing anything, Santos Escobar, hell, LA Knight, we're not even sure who the fuck Logan Paul's facing at WrestleMania. So guys like that that are kind of circling around on SmackDown, why don't they just show up on Raw and say, hey, I want to fight Gunther? And Adam Pearce could have put together a one-night tournament, and it would have been great. But now a gauntlet match, basically, they'll probably have like a 40-minute segment or something like that, or it'll be like the last hour of Raw. It'll just the entire gauntlet match will be the last hour of Raw. But why not just let these guys rest, let everyone get their fair shot at the matches? It is what it is. And I'm, you know, I said at the beginning of the year when we did predictions that I said Sami Zayn would be the one to dethrone Gunther, but I'm going to, you know, go against my own better judgment from a few months ago and say that Gunther's walking out, because I agree with Chairman. There's none of these guys are worth it. I love Sami Zayn. I love these guys. Sami is kind of doing that whole rah-rah dog thing. Like, so I feel like he's going to be the one that gets the match. But, and if he wins, then, you know, my prediction came true. But I don't think Gunther's retained or losing that title unless they really are going to depend on Drew, Sami, Gunther, Jey Uso to really be the main focus of Raw over the next few months, assuming Cody wins the world title.
Yeah, I agree with you too on your Mexican point. If it's guys trying to be smart marks, yeah, then fuck them. I agree with you there. Yeah, so we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, hell, what happened with Andrade? I mean, Andrade showed up on Raw. You know, I guess maybe you don't want to put him right in the IC title feud, but again, that'd be a sign to AEW guys, say, hey, look, you know, another guy from AEW came right over here to WWE and he's fighting Gunther at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental title. Now, maybe you can play the Charlotte bias into that too, who the hell knows, but that'd be a good signal there to people that might want to jump and come over. A few other things, we saw Dakota Kai actually turn on Bayley before WrestleMania, which makes me happy because I did not want to. I felt like it would be too obvious if it didn't happen before WrestleMania that would happen at WrestleMania. So it's now Dakota Kai is in Damage Control with Kairi Sane, Io, and Asuka, with Bayley pretty much going it alone. I wonder if Bayley tries to get reinforcements to go up against Damage Control. Maybe that's where you see Bianca Belair show up, trying to join her side. Maybe that's where Jade Cargill comes in. Who knows? Lots of questions there. We also saw that the first two inductees of the Hall of Fame this year, Paul Heyman and Bull Nakano. So props to both of them. I do wonder who's going to induct Paul Heyman. I mean, obviously, you know, Brock Lesnar is persona non grata right now, so it's not going to be Brock. I don't think it would be Brock even if he was available, because Brock's just not the type of guy that does that kind of commitments and goes out and does public stuff like that. You know, Roman Reigns is possible. CM Punk is possible. You could get somebody. I mean, they have a working relationship with TNA. Maybe you can get somebody like Tommy Dreamer or Bubba Ray Dudley to come and do the induction as well. But, you know, good, solid induction for a guy that's probably on your Mount Rushmore at least. I mean, obviously promoters, you know, what he did with ECW was great. But probably on the Mount Rushmore of managers for all time. I mean, the way I look at it, it's Bobby Heenan. If I had to pick four, he'd probably be on there. It'd probably be Bobby Heenan, Paul Heyman, Jim Cornette and Sensational Sherry would probably be my top four managers of all time if I had to put a Mount Rushmore together. But Cam, over to you real quick. Who do you think should induct Paul Heyman as far as it comes to Hall of Fame stuff?
I mean, I'm hard pressed to say that he's the headliner, right? I mean, I've argued, it's many podcasts ago, I can't remember, but I made a point to say, you know, outside of Vince McMahon, like, who's the most influential person in pro wrestling the last, like, 30, 40 years, and it's easily Paul Heyman. Outside of Vince McMahon, it's easily Paul Heyman. He has his fingerprints on, you know, fucking ECW and everyone that's great in WWE and, you know, all the stuff he did with the before FCW and OVW and all that, you know, all these things that he did, that he's definitely up there. So I'm trying to think, I mean, obviously we don't know who else is going into the Hall of Fame, and maybe someone, I mean, I'm trying to think of who, a name bigger than Paul Heyman that hasn't gone in yet, that could be the headliner. But I feel like if Paul's the headliner, and if I'm Triple H, you almost have to break it down. You got to let Tommy Dreamer and maybe Bubba Ray Dudley say some words. You got to let CM Punk say some stuff. You got to let Roman Reigns say some stuff. Hell, you even got to let now my mind is blanking. It's got Curtis Axel. You got to bring back Curtis Axel because he was a Paul Heyman guy too there for a little while.
Was it Ryback with them for a bit too?
You know, yeah, Ryback was there. You know, that's when they did the whole, when CM Punk, you know, he talked about on the podcast with Cole Cabana about how they were told they were mid-carders, even though they was like the world title, and they did the whole cage match. And remember, Punk hit the GTS on Paul Heyman on top of the Hell in the Cell, if I remember correctly. They did that whole thing. Yeah, I mean, kudos to Paul Heyman. We're going to get a Bull Nakana, probably WWE Elite, which is pretty fucking cool. Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, like I said, I assume he's the headliner, the main event, whatever you want to call it, the headliner, the big guy that goes in, unless you guys can think of somebody that's a bigger name than Paul Heyman that hasn't gone in yet.
No, I mean, I think the fact that it's in Philly helps him being the headliner. I mean, the only people that come to my head about that would be The Rock and, like, Batista, probably, I guess, would probably be the only other one. But I don't think they're not going to induct Rock now with him wrestling, and I don't think Batista is coming back to get an induction anytime soon. So it's probably going to end up being Paul Heyman, the headliner. Chairman, what are your thoughts on Paul Heyman going here into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's definitely a worthy selection for sure, because it's in Philadelphia, home of ECW. You know, Paul Heyman's been in the wrestling business forever. I mean, we can talk pretty much all podcast episode if we wanted to about what Heyman's done for the game. And, you know, I mean, it's like you said, Justin, I'm curious to see who inducts him. I mean, he's definitely worthy of it. It's just like, are they going to bring an ECW legend, or are they going to have, you know, CM Punk or Roman Reigns do it? It's a big question. But, you know, it's definitely a great honor. I think he's definitely the headliner if he's the first announced. Bull Nakano, though, that's kind of a rando. she was only there for, like, what, a year or two? Like, are we just throwing a woman in there to throw one in there? Like, Mickey James, Victoria? Like, you can definitely, those two are more worthy than Bull Nakano is in my book, but whatever. And then the backtrack to the Dakota Kai turn in on Bayley, we all seen it coming. Is perfectly executed. I think Dakota Kai has a great opportunity here to be the mouthpiece of Damage Control, you know, elevate her stock to become a main event threat, you know, possibly of Bayley. So I'm definitely really excited for that story.
Yeah, WrestleMania season is fast approaching now. I believe it's pretty much a month away at this point. So a lot to look forward to. The card's great. A lot of buzz around pro wrestling right now, and that is always positive. So that is it for this week. We will be back next week to talk about anything else leading up to the road to WrestleMania and more than likely Mercedes Moné's debut in AEW. So for my co-host Cam and the chairman Stephen Vincent, I am Justin C. signing off, and we will talk to you guys next week.